Welcome back to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't have anybody at the table. We've been recording a lot of interviews. And so it's good to see you and to be able to talk a little bit about when to have the hard conversations about Jesus. Now, I know for me personally, this is a hard topic because whether it's my family members or whether it's my neighbor or somebody at the grocery store that I run into, right? I want to give the hope of Jesus, but I don't want to scare them away. I don't want to compromise truth, but I don't know how hard hitting to be. There's just so many different ways we can go with this. So if you could just start out a little bit by talking a little bit about why we picked this topic today and what some of your thoughts are.
Yeah. So maybe I'll start there, as you were saying, all of that, just to get something off your shoulder now, you will be rejected.
Great. Thanks.
Yeah. The reason I say that is I think we go into it thinking, okay, I'm going to finally get up the courage to talk about Jesus. The Red Sea's going to part. The sky's going to open. And after I do it, God's voice is going to sing from heaven and angels will show up and the person will walk with me in that minute to my pastor's house and we will get that person baptized.
And the voice sounds like James Earl Jones, for sure.
Morgan Freeman. Freeman. I think that'd be better. But anyway, you know what I mean? We think that we're going to get up the courage and that's just going to happen. And I think just to take the pressure off you to you will be rejected and just plan on it happening. And you're not being rejected. I think the other thing people, and we talked about this last time, but I think sometimes the people think they're going to be rejected because of their lack of training. I went to seminary. If anybody's schooled in what the Bible has to say, I'm not the best, but I'm up there, right?
Right.
And I know times where I've shared Jesus where it's just been totally flat, right? And so, that's a reality of it. And I say that because I love you and I want what's best for you. And I think if you just enter into it not expecting that they're going to say, oh, yeah, that's really cool, right? That's what we really want, right? We don't want the sky to open or the James Earl Jones voice. We just want them to say, oh, that's really cool. Thank you for sharing that with me. But you're not always going to get that.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I want a little more. I want conversion.
Yeah.
I want Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I can say he's already got you, right?
Yeah.
But I think of my brother-in-law, and he's wrestled with faith for so long, and I do love him and I do want to see him in heaven. But I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to have past conversations with him. And there's just so much pressure of what am I going to say? Now, we're having this conversation, you and I are, because we're leading into quite a few interviews with people who are really living this out in their workplace, in their healing, in their recovery, in their volunteering. I mean, we've got the whole spectrum coming up of where people have really one more in Christ, let's say that. And but that one more in Christ is my brother-in-law, and I'm a little nervous about it. How do I do that?
Yeah, okay, I'm going to be blunt.
Do it.
Stop making it about yourself. Mm. Right? I think so often we go into it and we say, well, I want them to do this.
Yeah.
And if I screw it up, and if I do this, or if I don't have all the answers, or if I mess it up, or what if I push them away from Jesus? It's I don't know. Stop making it about you and just let Jesus work. Right? Jesus sends out, we talk about it a lot on this podcast, but he sends out the 72. And he basically gives them no training and says, go out and share faith. If that was good enough for Jesus, then it's good enough for anybody. And I guess when I look back at it, the last thing I want to do, or the last thing I want to look back and not say, that's sometimes how I think about it. The last thing I want to look back and not say is, I don't want to look back and say I didn't say anything. So I have a friend, Viren, who's Hindu that I love, and we connected because a lot of our values were the same. But I wanted to make sure that I shared Jesus with him. Like, it didn't matter if it wasn't eloquent. It doesn't matter if he didn't do it. But I want to be able to say that, no, I shared Viren with him. And I have the confidence that I did. Could I have done it better? No, but I shared Jesus. And I think that's like, that's got to be our heart and soul in this, is I gotta share Jesus. And when I'm rejected, that's okay. Now, again, can I do that winsomely? Can I do that intentionally? Can I do that graciously? Yes, to all those things. But the worst thing is that you worry too much about it, that you don't say a thing.
Yeah, because if it's not about me, then I'm not worried about that. They're going to reject me.
I learned something in preaching that I think applies. It was a pastor that was talking on a podcast, and he said, I get asked a lot, do I ever get nervous preaching? And his response was just awesome to me. It's like, well, you know, if I was talking from myself and it was about me and I was telling everybody what they should do because this is what I did, then like I would get nervous. But like I just get up there and I talk about Jesus, right? Like, and that's the goal of preaching, but that's also the goal of our faith. Like, we're not there to talk about ourselves. We're there to point to somebody else. Mm. And so maybe the best way that I can point to Jesus is by humbling myself. And so, I don't know, just get out of your way and do it. Yeah. And if it doesn't go well, understand that the Holy Spirit can work through your mess ups to still do something wonderful. Like the best thing might be like, okay, let's say you're sharing your faith with your friend and you push a little too hard, right? You push a little too hard. One of the gracious things that you can do is go to them and apologize. Mm. Text them afterwards. Hey, I'm sorry. Like, I am passionate about Jesus, but I push too hard. I'm sorry. Like, I don't want that to affect our relationship.
Wow.
Like, that might be a net positive in the end. Right now, I'm not saying that you should try to offend them, but you notice that you pushed a little too hard. You can back up, apologize, recalibrate, keep the friendship. Because sometimes the greatest witness of Jesus might be that you can share your faith, somebody not react, but you still stay friends with them. Because what are you sharing? You're sharing that their friendship means more to you than getting them to where you are.
Yeah, that's a really great point.
That's how we're supposed to be.
Right. All right. So last week in the podcast, you mentioned, hey, get outside or go spend some time outside. And you never know the relationships that you're going to make. You don't know what's going to happen. So I'm outside, and we're going to overthink this just for a minute, because I do have to ask some nuts and bolts questions. But how do I transition, or where's some effective ways I can transition a conversation from everyday life to spiritual matters without it feeling like forced or awkward?
Yeah, it's in a hospitable way, deepening the personalness of your conversation. So like the way I like to explain evangelism in 3 easy steps is that we approach, we have a conversation, we get to Jesus. Mm. Now, I think like the place we're worried about is sharing Jesus. That's what we get worried about. And I think a lot of people, they freeze because they're worried about sharing Jesus. I think that's actually the easiest step. The hardest is the first two. It's that approaching. It's that wave. It's that meeting my neighbor. It's that learning their name. It's that learning about their family. But once you know a little bit about their family, start asking a little deeper questions. Like, how are your kids doing in middle school? I remember middle school was hard. Like, how is that for them? Like, oh, you work there. Like, what is that like? Like, what struggles are you facing? Like, I have one of my neighbors that she was leading during COVID. And so, like, we would talk about leading during COVID and our challenges in that and what that was like. Like, she was leading a remote team because they were all out of the office. Like, we talked about, you know, and so that's deeper conversation. And that's deeper conversation that opens the door to deeper conversation. Because there's this thing, I forget who said it, but somebody said that you should never talk about religion and politics, which I think is a horrible idea, because let's take two things that matter and let's just avoid talking about them.
Right.
I think that's a horrible advice. But so people do talk about those things, but they only talk about them in safe places. Yeah. And so if they learn that I'm a safe place to talk about their family, their work struggles, their difficulties in their life, if they learn that I'm maybe someone of faith that they can bring prayer requests to, I've done a lot of that. I think praying is one of the greatest witnesses we can have because
people, I'm going to interrupt real quick. People seem very open to prayer.
Mm.
Sometimes not as open to Jesus.
Yeah.
But they're open to prayer. Why is that? And then we'll let you get back on track.
I think there's a few reasons. One is there's a lot of people in America that have Christian backgrounds in some way, shape, or form. And it might even be, oh, I remember going to church with my grandma. But even that, they've been around prayer. It's not something foreign to them. And the other one, I'll be quite frank, like I think they're like, well, I'm open to anything. And so it's just kind of a, yep, let's try. And so I'm not sure that the openness to prayer means that like, oh, they're going to become a Christian. I think it just means that they're willing to try anything. But guess what? Our God's a God of powerful prayer.
Right.
Prayer makes a difference. And so pray with them. And then I would say this, pray on the spot.
Right.
Pray on the spot is a really simple way for you to share, say, Jesus. Like I've changed. I used to not pray. I wasn't taught to pray in the name of Jesus, but now I always pray in the name of Jesus. A lot of times I just do dear God and amen, but now I'll do, hey, dear Jesus or dear God. And then I'll end with in Jesus's name, amen. Like I include Jesus. So I think it's an easy way to speak Jesus too, in a way that's not going to offend them.
Yeah.
And so...
So going back, I apologize for
interrupting
you, but go back to what you were saying.
Yeah, so I just deepen those. It's really just deepen those conversations. So the make it so going to Jesus isn't the hard part. It's what comes up naturally. It's the next logical next step. Like, because again, when you're listening to somebody, they're going to eventually ask you what you think.
Right.
And that might be an opportunity. Well, what do you think about this that's going on with my kids? Like you've shown them that you cared. And that's when you get to bring in, like I get to bring in, well, the most powerful thing I believe I can do for my kids is actually pray for them. Like Jesus teaches me about parenting, but like praying for them, it calms my mind. It helps me not worry. And so like if you're worried about your kid, like maybe it's just getting yourself in a place where you're not worried, but where you can think practically about what to do next. And could prayer help with that? And that might be, you know, that might be an example of how Jesus, and Jesus, again, when we've talked about that they have this struggle in their family, this struggle at work, this is going on, this is what they love to do. When we've talked about those deep things, it's not off-putting or weird when I say, well, have you thought about Jesus and how he fits into that?
I really like how you turned it to a question. That's a model Jesus did use. He asked more questions,
yeah.
Right, than anything. And I think when we switch it to a question, we give the relationship time. They see that we're really invested in what they're saying, and we're not necessarily pushing our agenda, but we're building a relationship that can take us to the next conversation where we may see that opening.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say like, this is one idea of it, but the bigger thing is make this about how you would operate. Like how would you form and deepen a relationship at church?
Mm-hmm.
Or how would you form and deepen a relationship at work? Like what would that look like? And I think just realize that you're doing that, A, because you care about the person and you want to know them better, but B, because you do want to get to Jesus. And I think when we deepen the conversations, like bring up Jesus, and I think let that be the case. Let that just let him be a part of who you are, and then deepen your conversation. So I think really we get caught up on it's hard to share Jesus, and when do I share Jesus, and at what point do I get to him?
Yeah.
And I think, like, make your agenda not to share Jesus, but to just deepen the conversation.
Don't have an agenda.
Yeah.
Just deepen the relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's a way better way to say it.
Yeah. Okay. But there is it's the nuts and bolts, and we do want to look at those, and we want to help our leaders understand some of the practicality of evangelism. Mm-hmm. All right. So what are some indicators that someone might be open or ready to talk about Jesus, even if they haven't been like, Pastor, I'm ready to talk about Jesus, you know? But how do you know when it's okay to insert insert Jesus. I don't know. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I've quite honestly done studies on this and talked about this, and one key one I think is questions. Like if they ask you questions, like about faith, like by golly, like answer them. Besides for that, just try different things and watch for offense. So like, for instance, if you, and I wouldn't start by bringing up Jesus actually, I would start by maybe just dropping in a conversation that this weekend you were at church. Like, what'd you do this weekend? Well, you know, I went to church and I hung out with the family and I watched football. Like, did you see this game? And just kind of drop it in conversation. If they kind of react a little to that, then like maybe you wait a while before you bring that up again. But if they, you know, they might be curious, oh, what church do you go to or what? And just because they're curious and asking questions doesn't mean they're ready for Jesus. But I think it just means that that's a safe place to kind of begin to have that conversation. But I would say that's so individualistic. I think it comes down to this. Just try something, and if it backfires, apologize, right? I think we get caught up in when's the right time. Like, just, you know, if you feel right that it's time to bring Jesus up, just bring him up. Hey, you know, Jesus is really important to me.
I have a family member. I'm not really sure where they're at. And what I've done is definitely going into it, not how can I bring Jesus up every time we're together,
yeah,
because then they're not going to want to spend time with me. But it's more of asking questions. I think it was last year. I was like, what are your traditions around Christmas? And I know you might not be a believer, so what are you celebrating at Christmas? And I did it very genuinely because I really was like, I really want to know. I never thought about that before. And they were very open to share with me kind of how they viewed it. It's another day. It's a fun day that they get to exchange gifts and all of that. But out of it came a thanks. They said, we just want to thank you for always being open to our ideas. And it's not buying into their ideas. It's not saying, oh, I totally agree, that's how I should view Christmas. But it's just letting them talk and being interested in what they're saying. And I think that takes you, I like how you said that, approach, have conversation, and get to Jesus. I can't get to Jesus if I'm not invested. And this is, I'm invested in you and who you are and what you think.
Yeah, and I think maybe one way to engage it is to ask yourself this question. If I brought up Jesus and I offend them, do we have enough relationship that it can recover?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think when we do that, it just gives us that pause to say no. Like, because you've had a relationship with them for a while, and like, you can bring, again, if you bring them up every time, that's not good, but you can bring them up and they're not going to push you out because you have, they might be offended a little bit,
right,
but they're not going to push you out because you have the relational backing to do that. And I think that's so important when it comes to our faith. But then again,
Each situation is
different. And if, but you do, the reason I put Jesus at the end of that is you do have to get to Jesus. Like how, Paul says, how will they understand unless they're preached to? Like we do have to, don't preach like I preach, but they do have to be spoken to. You do have to speak Jesus. And so do get there. I know my mom, she's been praying for this one person for a while, and she'll shoot texts and share. And I told her, like, she was like, what do I do next? And I told her, well, just shoot a Bible verse. Like, I think you've had a relationship with them long enough. They know that you care. They care. You care about them. You've showed that. Like, just share the Bible verse about Jesus. If they react and don't respond for a day or two, like, then apologize,
right,
and backtrack and ask them how they're doing. Like, I think we have to be, because that's what a relationship is. It's trying something. If it doesn't go somewhere, we apologize, we recalibrate. And so don't be afraid when the time is right to share Jesus.
And it doesn't, I like what you said earlier. It really doesn't have to be perfect. You know, my brother-in-law and I got into, it was quite a while ago, but we got into debating. And I was really getting frustrated, and he was getting a little bit frustrated, and we were just going after it. And all of a sudden I stopped and I said, we could debate and you're probably going to win because you're a better debater than I am. But the truth is I'm scared. I'm going to get to heaven and you're not going to be there. And I said, that's my bottom line. And I just started crying. I could cry saying it, but he respected that. I mean, it literally just stopped the conversation that was getting pretty strong. It just stopped it in its tracks. And he knew I loved him. And he knew that that really was the most important thing. And, you know, sometimes I think there's a place for that too, of just telling somebody you just don't want him to die. Right? You don't want him.
Yeah.
To not see have eternal life.
Yeah. Now, again, and we could interject that. You just met your neighbor. You had a conversation. Maybe you even drank a beer with him in his front yard.
I have a very long relationship with my brother-in-law. Yeah. It's not a new person.
Right. But, you know, I'm not the place where I'm going to share that with my neighbors, right? Like, but at the same time, like, I'm going to take the opportunity to talk about Jesus with them when it comes up, but I'm not gonna push it. And don't be afraid, and I think some people too, don't be afraid to invite them to church either, right? And when they, you know, say no, don't keep hounding them.
Right.
Do it one time and bring it up. But because I think, so at the end of the day, this is most people, when I hear they went from not being a Christian to being a Christian, there's something in their life that changes. And it's a certain level of brokenness. Like, I know there was a guy in New York that I served with. He was a volunteer, but he served really deeply in our music ministry. And it was his dog dying, like, that brought him to Jesus. Like, that was a brokenness. Like, his dog died, and he just couldn't wrap his mind around it. So he met Jesus. The pastor in New York, he's the pastor now. He was a lay person when I was there. But, like, it was something that changed in his family, and there's that brokenness, and so he came to church. But again, the two things that I see is they have a relationship with someone who cares about them, and something bad happens in their life. And so this could easily come out wrong. I could say, well, you love them and you wait for something bad and then they will come to Jesus.
Right.
But the reality of it is bad things will happen in people's lives. And so if you're around, if you're the person who cares, if you're the person who has hope in Jesus, if you're a person who has walked through hard with them, and maybe that's your own hard, they're going to come to you and ask you, where'd you find the hope in the midst of that? And that's where you get to speak Jesus. And that's where I think their heart is going to be open to hear, not in the good times, but sometimes in the bad times.
Yeah, we're going to, and I think it's next week or in a couple of weeks, we're going to talk to Brad Husky. And Brad has this beautiful way of just interweaving it in the conversation. And I learned a lot listening to that. And I think it's just so powerful. All right. So I want to kind of wrap it up with one more question. What do you want leaders to take away? Because we've got three groups of people who are all very strong leaders, and they're doing a great job leading where they are, but they might be just a little bit stuck on how do I weave in Jesus when I work at a high security position? Well, how do I weave in Jesus when we're given training on being correct and accepting, but Christianity isn't always on that list of things you've got to accept. How do we challenge our leaders, but also understand where they are?
Well, first, like, I haven't ever lived there, so, like, I'm probably not the right one to tell you. I think Brad has a really good approach that'll help you in that. But the one thing I would say is that any of the people that I've talked to that have sensitivity training and things like that and things they can't say, generally, it's you can't push Jesus. it's not that you can't straight up, you can't say the name of Jesus here. I've yet to have that sensitivity
trigger. Yeah, I had somebody in my life group that's that way.
They literally couldn't say Jesus.
They could not.
Okay, so that's new to me.
They were in a management position.
Okay.
And felt
Jesus was a forbidden word, or they couldn't tell people that their faith was in Jesus and they were a Christian.
None of that.
They couldn't say, okay.
No, it was pretty tight what they couldn't say.
Yeah, because again, and you guys know better what it is if you're in that situation, but generally where I've heard the sensitivity treeing centers around, and by the way, some of that's going away. Like, I don't know if you've read that recently, but some of that sensitivity training is going away. Mm. But anyway, it's usually not that you can't flat out say Jesus, but that you can't push it. And so I think where it comes is if you're a good friend, if you listen to people, if you approach, if you have a conversation, if you get to know them, you're going to learn if they're a safe place to share Jesus. And I think you got to walk it a little more carefully, like in...
Wisely.
Yeah, wisely. And in a, because in a corporate environment, I think that if you offend them, it could mean your job.
Correct.
And so just be... Don't see it as... Don't see it as, well, I can't speak Jesus, so I'm not going to, but say it as, well, how do I be, the Bible says, as wise as serpent, as innocent as doves. How do I be wise in that situation and figure out what I can say? Because there might be safe times that you can break the rules and share Jesus, and they're not going to be offended. And if they're not going to be offended, you're probably safe. But if you offend them, then you're in trouble. But that's what I would say, is like, just use it as a, think of it as a puzzle of how do I share Jesus here and not be offended and not offend someone, which really is our goal with all of our relationships, not to be offensive. There's just the stakes are higher when your job depends on that. And so just be, you probably play it a lot slower, but that doesn't mean you can't have deep and rich relationships with people. And maybe you share Jesus outside of work as a social gathering once you know them well.
What's the challenge to our leaders? So you've faced some challenges over the past couple of months where people are like, hey, this is my challenge to you, Pastor. What's your challenge to our leaders? Because I feel like we're moving into this for a reason. How do we want to challenge them?
It's hard to figure out how to share your faith. And I can't understand your, like, we had that whole thing about, you know, workplace and all that. Like, and I don't understand that. But I do know that there's a gospel worth sharing that's out there. And so figure it out. And you don't figure it out by being mad at corporate. You don't figure it out by looking at what you can't do. You figure it out by looking at the opportunities that God has given you. I was just talking to somebody today and they were like, well, they took God out of schools and they took God out of this and they took God out of that. And at one level, we can mourn that. And I do mourn that. That bothers me. God was all over my school and praise God for that. I loved that growing up. Like, I can mourn that, but they can't take Christians out of corporate America. Right. Because we're there. They can't take Christians out of school. They can't take Jesus out of the school because we have people there. But what we have to be intentional about, the church has to do, we have to rise up and say, this gospel I know is important enough that I'm going to figure it out. And so we have to figure it out. Yeah, push back. Tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why corporate America isn't, that I don't understand it, because I don't understand it. But don't let that be an excuse for you to not figure it out and go share. I know it's hard. I know it's challenging, but let's go out there. But because sharing our faith is hard, but it's what we're called to do, so let's go do it. Is that challenge enough?
Yeah, it was great. Approach, have conversations, get to Jesus. Yeah, it's a great way to wrap up.
Yeah, and maybe not even get to Jesus. let Jesus, yeah, I know you were going to wrap it up.
I was.
Let Jesus come up.
All right.
Let him come up.
Yeah.
Because he will.
Jesus take the wheel? Should I say that? Maybe not. Okay.
No.
All right. Thanks for joining us today on Jesus-Centered Podcast. We appreciate your time.